At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The Texas State Board of Education gave final approval this morning to the creation of a course focusing on Mexican-American history and culture. As KERA's Christina Martinez reports, the approval didn't come without objections from Latino board members and about the course name.
Ruben Cortez Jr. of Brownsville proposed a motion to rename the course Mexican-American Studies, which was the original name before a white Republican board member proposed a name change on Wednesday. David Bradley of Beaumont said he doesn't like, quote, hyphenated Americanism and found it divisive. But before the final vote, Cortez warned there would be more problems down the line.
I think the majority of the board doesn't want another meeting where we have another 100 people coming, signing up for public comment just for a name change. We can save ourselves a whole lot of time if you guys just vote for this amendment.
The Republicans on the board rejected Cortez's motion. After the vote, board member Marissa Perez-Diaz of Converse fought back tears.
We identified thousands of children across Texas today and took that power from them. If we're going to be a representative body, we need to acknowledge that and be honest with ourselves.
The state board will begin creating course standards based on a similar class in Houston ISD. Christina Martinez, KERA News.
Dallas voters may have the chance this fall to weigh in on whether workers across the city get paid when they're too sick to work. A coalition of community groups, faith leaders, and unions launched a campaign today to put a paid sick leave ordinance on the November ballot. KERA's Christopher Connolly says that first, they need to gather nearly 65,000 signatures on a petition by mid-July.
For 40% of Texas workers, if they can't work because they're ill or injured, they don't get paid. That's according to the Institute for Women's Policy Research. And the numbers are higher for Hispanic workers. Half don't have access to paid sick leave. Brianna Brown from the Texas Organizing Project says that has to change.
Today, we declare that every worker in Dallas, every cashier, every waiter, every janitor has the right to dignity at work. Yeah. That every worker in Dallas has a right to take care of themselves and their families.
Under the proposed policy, everyone who works in Dallas would earn an hour of paid sick leave for every 30 hours they work, up to 6 or 8 days a year, depending on the size of the business. Shatamia Taylor says that would change lives. She has 4 boys, and when she was working in a dollar store that didn't offer paid sick leave, she struggled every time one of them got sick.
Those 8, 9, 10, 12, however many hours it is, could be the difference between putting a meal on your table or paying your light bill or having the exact amount of rent that you need to pay for that month.
Earlier this year, Austin became the first city in Texas to mandate paid sick leave, and advocates in San Antonio are campaigning to require it there, too. The policies may face a challenge in the legislature next year, though. Some Republican lawmakers have already pledged to bring a bill to functionally overturn local sick leave requirements. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Senator Ted Cruz has reportedly raised less than half of what his Democratic rival raised during the first 3 months this year. The Texas Tribune reports the Republican incumbent's campaign will report raising $3.2 million during the first quarter. That's compared to $6.7 million raised during the same time period by Beto O'Rourke, an El Paso congressman. The Tribune also says both campaigns will report they each have $8 million in cash on hand. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is traveling to India following a large delivery of natural gas from the U.S. Some facilities along the Texas Gulf Coast were built for importing natural gas, but since the fracking boom, many of them are exporting gas. Michelle Foss is with UT's Center for Energy Economics. She says there are several uncertainties and things could change again.
It's impossible to look at a lot of these countries and try to figure out, you know, what will their gas demand be and how much of that gas demand will be satisfied by imports and where are those going to come from? Are they going to come from the U.S. or will they come from some other place? I mean, it is really difficult.
While Perry's in India, the former Texas governor will meet with government officials and private sector members about the growing energy relationship between the U.S. and India. Artists and collectors from around the world are coming to the Dallas Art Fair this weekend. That inspired a group of women to start their own art fair in the abandoned Women's Museum at Fair Park. It's called Vignette, and it features the work of Texas women artists. What is it like to throw a satellite art fair? For this week's State of the Arts, KERA's Ann Bothwell talked with Jessica Engel, president of Vignette, and Aaron Murphy, one of the fair's curators.
Jessica, why do we need an art fair for female artists? Well, women in particular are so underrepresented in the art world. According to Gallery Tally, I believe this stat comes from 2014, only 30% of the artists in commercial galleries are women. Only 25% of the major museums in the U.S. that have budgets over $15 million are run by women. So not only are the higher-ups in museums oftentimes men, but the people in fairs, in galleries, are predominantly men. We were hoping that this would really diversify the field a little bit better.
Erin, you curated the traditional 2D and 3D work that's in this show. How did you select the work? Did you have a guiding principle?
So one of the things that I tried to do was to include artworks and artists who were dealing with very universal issues. Issues like biographical concerns, you know, addressing the figure, addressing materials, traditional or non-traditional, political issues like we touched on, spatial concerns, and also technological issues that we come up against every day. And by the time I had gotten through the second round of selections, I was like, wait a second, this is all really, really diverse and exciting work. And so it ended up that that's really what I wanted to kind of push with this exhibition.
Vignette is happening at the same time as the Dallas Art Fair, which is showing work from hundreds of artists from all over the world. Tell me a little bit about the timing.
So Vignette is meant to be an alternative fair. One of the things we love about it is that it does not have any booths or galleries. It's all submission-based. We wanted this to be a satellite fair. Dallas Art Fair is doing something so amazing for this city. They're bringing international recognition in a way that almost no other event has, which is a great thing. And being a satellite fair, as any good satellite fair is, they ride the coattails a bit in that regard.
So are you hoping that people from around the art world who are coming for the art fair will also visit Vignette?
Yes, absolutely. We're hoping to really bridge that gap between local artists and curators, critics, collectors, both locally and nationally and internationally.
The show is in the building that once housed the Women's Museum. And wandering through this show, I found it really kind of poignant to be surrounded by all of these rainbow-colored display cases, and they still have their titles on them, like Rebel with a Cause or Never Silent, and those cases are empty. Does that resonate with you at all?
I mean, I can't think of a more appropriate location for something like this. I do think that there's something really integral to one's experience of the fair, because there are some very obvious signs of abandoned spaces. But I think, you know, that could even be viewed as a kind of metaphor of the state of what it is to be a female or someone identifying as a female these days. And in particular, in this case, a female identifying artist with the current climate, political and otherwise. I think that it's a poignant pairing to have this at a location like that.
Erin Murphy, Jessica Engel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much, Anne.
Vignette runs through Sunday. To see photos and learn more about the sections of the fair, visit artandseek.org. And a tornado watch remains in effect until 10 tonight for much of the KERA listening area. That includes Dallas, Tarrant, Collin, and Denton counties. Thunderstorms capable of producing large hail and damaging winds are possible through this evening, along with a chance for a few tornadoes. Tomorrow, however, should be mostly sunny with a high near 62. And tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low around 39. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.